We are all called to disciple. Number two, we are all equipped to disciple. And number three, your yes can change the world. Sorry. Point one, we are all called to disciple. So I homeschooled my kids, and there would be times, they were a little bit older when I did, and there would be times when I would say, okay, listen, I need to run an errand, and I need you to do this when I'm gone. Finish up these things in your schoolwork, empty the dishwasher, load the dishes, clean up the kitchen, and put away your clean clothes in your bedroom. And I would say, I'm going to be gone 2 hours. Are you going to get these things done while I'm gone? Yes, Mom. And Breezy is a testament of it would be done when I would get home. My kids were great. And so I gave instructions to them when I'd be gone. Jesus did the same thing. He gave instructions to us. He, all through Scripture, through the Gospels, many times I could give them, let me write where I wrote. It was in John. Oh, yeah. John 14. Three times Jesus says, listen, I'm going away. I'll be back. And in John 16, I'm going away, but I'll be back. So he gives instructions to his disciples. He said, listen, I'm going away, but I'll be back. And we are his disciples. So he says the same thing to us. Listen, I'm going away, but I'll be back. And I'm going to give you instructions to do while I'm gone. And we find them in Matthew. We're not going to do a lot of your scriptures. I'm just going to talk about because of the time. But you have them there, and you can go look them up. But in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Matthew 28, 16. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some still doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So right there, Jesus said, listen, this is the Great Commission. Go, teach, make disciples. That is the instruction that Jesus said, listen, I'm going away, but I'll be back. And this is the instruction he left with us. I'm going away, but I'll be back. But while I'm gone, make disciples. So we are all commissioned to be disciplers. What are we supposed to be doing while we're waiting? Jesus talked about all of his parables. All his parables talk about the kingdom. And we do our kingdom covenant, so we are kingdom people. So let's read one of the things that he said to us as we are waiting for his return. And this is found a couple pages back, Matthew 25. The kingdom of heaven is like. So let's go to Matthew 25. And we start in, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase through this real quick. In 14, Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags to one, three bags to another. I'm sorry, two bags. Five bags, two bags, and one bag. So he gave different amounts of silver to the different servants that he, and then he said, listen, I'm going away. I'll be back. That sound familiar? Jesus, I'm going away, but I'll be back. What are you supposed to do while you're waiting for his return? So these servants were entrusted with these bags of silver, and the guy that was entrusted with five made five more. The one that was entrusted with two bags made two more. But the one that was entrusted with one bag, let's read about him. And that is... But the servant, 18, but the servant who received one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. So after a while, the master comes back and he calls the servants and he says, okay, what did you do with what I gave you? And the one that had five bags made five bags more of silver. The one that had two made two more. And the master was like, great job. Let's celebrate. And I'm going to give you more to be responsible for. But the one that had one bag of silver, he was not pleased with him. We go down to the servant on verse 24. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. And he was not pleased. So can you imagine this servant? He's like, listen, I was a little scared of you, and so I kind of hid it, and here's your money that you get back. What are we supposed to be doing while we're waiting for the master? We are supposed to be investing and using the gifts, the talents that he has given us, and not to hide and bury the talents that God has given us. Each of us are given talents, you guys. While we wait for his return, we're expected to use and invest those talents. I remember the first time, well, maybe not the first time, but I remember when I was a young believer and I read this, it convicted me so much. I was like, Lord, I want to use what you've given me. Show me how to use, and I don't even know what I have, but whatever I have, I want it to be used for you. So show me. And it was just that heart. All of us are called to be disciples and disciplers of other people, to use those gifts. But we say, I don't know. We have excuses. I'll give you four that we sometimes use. First one is fear. And that was what this servant had. He had fear. We're like, God couldn't use me. He only gave me one little talent. I'll just bury it. And it's fear dressed up as waiting. And is that something that maybe you're dealing with? Ask yourself as we look through these. Number two is false humility. I don't want to draw attention to myself, so I'll just bury my gift. And that is also disobedience. And it's disobedience dressed up as false humility or modesty. He wants us to use the gifts he's given us. Laziness. Nobody really asked me. Waiting for an invitation was never God's design, right? He gave us the assignment when he gave us the gifts. He said, take this gift, invest it. And so we have no excuse. We have to, he challenges us. And I'm challenging us today. Let's use those gifts and equip others. And I do want to say, you even heard it on the announcement. Every Sunday we say, get involved. Get involved. Get engaged. So you have been asked. Number four, comparison. And this one is easy for us to get into. Well, someone else has more gifts than me, so I'll let them do it. He has five talents, and I only have one. Or, you know what? She has her own business, and she's a whole lot more equipped to do something than I am. I'm failing, and I can't even pay my own bills, so I'm not equipped to disciple anyone. Or, I'm not a people person. They're more people person than I am, and we compare. And that's really just disobedience as well. We're not allowing those gifts to influence the kingdom of God. And so just encourage us. Let's use our talents. And let's look at 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So right there we are challenged to use the gifts God's given us. And then Ephesians 2:10, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So the parable is not about money. The parable is about our stewardship and what God has given us. So we are all called to disciple. Let's use those gifts to disciple one another. Number two, we are all equipped to disciple. You may think, no, I'm not. I can't do what you do, and I can't do what he does, and definitely can't do what she does. I want to encourage each of us today with four scripture verses, and I'm just going to go through these real quick. They're in your notes. At the end of Matthew 28 that I just read to you is verse 20. Jesus says to you, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You have Jesus with you. You are equipped. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for godly living. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Romans 8:11, the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. We have no excuse. We are equipped. We're not burying the gift because we have too little. We're burying it because we haven't grasped what we have inside of us. right? We are equipped with the same power that raised Christ from the dead. But you may say, yeah, but I've only been a believer for like 4 months or 4 minutes. I can't disciple anyone. And I just want to encourage you with two stories from the Bible. Whether you've known Jesus 40 years or 40 minutes, you are equipped. Let's look at the woman from the well. In John 4, verses 1 through 42, she just met Jesus, right? And she changes her entire town. She probably sat with him for a couple hours, not a couple months. And she changed her entire town through her testimony. We can find that, and let's read John 4, 28 through 30. John 4, 28 through 30. Where am I? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" So the people came streaming from the village to see him. And then in verse 39, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." And if you bump down to the end of 42, it says, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves." So we have no excuse when we say, "I've only been a believer for 4 months." She'd only been a believer for 40 minutes, and she changed an entire town with her testimony. Let's go to another one. The man from full of demons in the Gerasene, that area. Something about that area. It had 10 cities, so it was called the Decapolis. And that man, through his testimony, changed that entire region. How do we know that? So if we real quick tell you the story, it's in looking here, Luke 8. Jesus comes across the Sea of Galilee. You remember the story. It was with the storm and the disciples thinking they're going to die. And they get across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And they're in this region. And the man comes to them who has a legion, which is a whole boatload, of demons inside of him. And Jesus delivers him from those demons. And the demons go into a herd of pigs. And the pigs fall off the cliff and drown in the water. So that's the backstory of what's going on here. What happens next is that the people in the village, they come and they look at all the dead pigs. And what do they say to Jesus? Do you remember? "Get out of here. We want nothing to do with whatever you're doing. Leave." The whole region rejects Christ at that time. Well, the man that was full of all the demons, he goes to Jesus and he said, "Hey, I want to go back with you. Let me go back with you." And what does Jesus say to him? "Nope. No, you stay." So he didn't send him to seminary. He didn't disciple him for 12 months. He sends him immediately after he's been delivered. Where do we see that? If we go to Luke 8. And verse 26. Let me look. Should have highlighted these. Actually, I want to go to where he said, "I want to come with you." All right, so at the Luke 8, 37. Luke 8, 37. All the people in the region of the Gerasenes begged Jesus to go away and leave them alone, for a great wave of fear swept over them. So Jesus returned to the boat and he left. But before, in verse 38, the man who had been freed from the demons begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him home saying, "No. Go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you." So he went all through the town proclaiming the great things that Jesus had done for him. So we may say, "You know what, I've only been a believer for a month. I really don't have anything to say, or I don't know the Bible, and I don't know how to teach anybody anything." This man had been a believer for, a couple hours? And he changed the whole region. How do we know he changed the whole region? Remember I said it was the Decapolis city with 10 cities. Then they had all asked him for Jesus to leave out of fear. Let's go to Mark. When we go to Mark 7:31. Got you going all over your Bible this morning. Okay, so Mark 7:31. Jesus left Tyre and went up to Sidon before getting back to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the 10 towns. Does that sound familiar? This is the same region that he had delivered the man of the demons. He went back to the same region later in his ministry. A deaf man was brought to him, and look at that. The people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man to heal him. How did they know to beg Jesus to lay hands on the man? Because that man that had been delivered of demons had shared his testimony probably throughout all 10 cities. We think we have a mess and we can't be used by the Lord. That man had a huge mess, and God used his message. So we have no excuse. We are all equipped. Our mess is our message. Our test is our testimony. We are to be used by the Lord to share what God has done in our life. So we are all equipped to be disciplers. Often God sends us to disciple exactly where we've already stood. The people who know our before, they see our breakthrough, and they see our after. And God uses us to minister to those people. We are all equipped. Point number three. I'm flying through this here. Your yes can change the world. Your yes can change your world. So I wrote a song to Dan, and I sang it to him at our wedding. I'm going to try and sing here. So just the chorus. I want to serve the Lord with you and lift up his holy name to change the world around us in special loving ways. I pray the world will see the love we share is from above, and nothing will ever change that love. That was my heart. It's always been my heart that the world would see the love that we share is from above and that we would change the world around us. And the one thing I can say about Dan, and this is real corny and kind of cliche, but he is the wind beneath my wings. He has always allowed me to, not allowed, encouraged me and equipped me to minister and use my gifts to disciple others around me. And my yes looked different, and my yes looks different than your yes. My yes, I'm going to give you just a few of my yeses, not to draw attention to myself, but just to give all glory to God, to say, God can use our yes differently. So when I was a young mom, I worked with a group of friends, and we did this program called MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers. And I did the arts and crafts in this little group of women, and we would watch over children, and the moms would come in, and we would minister to them. And we discipled young moms on how to be Christian moms and raise their children to know Jesus. At the same time, I played guitar and I could sing. And so they said, hey, can you lead worship? And so I said, yes. And so I did. And through that, I was able to just be able to disciple a worship team and disciple a congregation on worship. School, Tiffany at that time, my oldest, was a middle schooler. And a group of moms said, hey, there's this different kind of school. Do you want to help us start it? And I said, yes. And so that school has touched hundreds of kids through the years. Dan and I, when we were down in Phoenix, there was a program that our pastor came to us and said, hey, I want you guys to be certified in SIMBUS. SIMBUS stands for Save Your Marriage Before It Starts. And it's for premarital coaching. And we said, yes. And we've been able to minister to 9 couples, and many of them are now raising their children to love Jesus. It was just so simple yeses. Your yes doesn't have to look like my yes. It just needs to be real. There are some yeses in our church that I want to share with you. Our Kingdom Kids leadership team and our volunteers, they say yes every Sunday, and they are over-discipling your kids right now. The VBS volunteers, we had 30 people say yes, and they ministered and discipled over 80 kids, most of them not from our congregation. The worship team, every Sunday, they say yes, and they disciple you on what worship looks like. Our prayer team, what Jim has started on Mondays and Fridays at noon, please come. You will be forever changed. They say yes, and they disciple how to hear the voice of the Lord every Monday and Friday. Your life group leaders, every time they say yes, and you disciple one another when you're together. It's a simple yes. Let's look at Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he planned for us long ago. You were not created to bury your gift. You're created to do good works prepared in advance, waiting for your yes. My last yes I want to share with you. Over 20 years ago, my son was working at McDonald's, and he asked me to meet with a young man that he worked with at McDonald's that wanted to know more about God. And I said yes. And that relationship over the last 20 plus years, I see the fruit in that young man's life. Well, now middle-aged, sorry. And the fruit in his life, and I see the fruit in his marriage, and the fruit in his children. That man who I helped disciple now disciples me. Remember what Mark talked about last Sunday with organic discipleship? When we disciple, we often turn around and are discipled by those that we have stepped into their life to disciple, and they begin to disciple us. He's a modern-day psalmist. Let me read you what he sent me on Thursday, one of his discipling moments of my heart. At the end of me, I surrender. I surrender, Lord, whatever comes, whatever winds may blow. I lay my thoughts before your throne, the ones I hide, the ones I show. I surrender all my feelings, every rise and every fall. My future, past and present, Jesus, you may have them all. I surrender every trembling fear, each hope I dare to dream. For you hold every day I breathe within your hands supreme. I surrender for your faithful, I surrender for your wise. I surrender for your perfect plan outshines my fragile tries. I surrender for my joy is found in footsteps you prepare. You go before my wandering heart and bind it to your care. Worthy are you, Lord of heaven, maker of all things that be. I surrender in discomfort in the dust that clings to me. I surrender when my flesh cries out to flee from holy fire. I surrender for each day with you is greater, higher, higher. You are more than God to me. You roll the stone away. You soften what was hardened and you resurrect my clay. So this day I surrender hopes and fears and sin confessed. I surrender for redemption's grace to wash what I've suppressed. For I am low among all men, yet you extend your righteous hand. I surrender to your holiness, the one who helps me stand. I surrender as I kneel and shout, my voice poured out, my heart poured out, and even in unraveling, I bow before your throne. I surrender in the presence of the enemies I've known. I surrender all I am and all I ever be. I surrender blood and breath and night and day to thee. For at the end of all my strength, when every veil is torn, I surrender to my Christ, my King, the one for whom I'm born. No matter what shall come or not, no matter loss or gain, I am yours, O Lord, forever. Seal my heart and reign. That is a discipler. And that is our Jeremiah, if you do not know. You don't have to be finished. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be complete to be a discipler. God calls all of us to say yes. All we have to do is just open up our hands. Jonah didn't have the right heart, but he was obedient, and a whole city repented. The woman at the well wasn't perfect, but she changed a city. The demonized man became the one who changed the entire Decapolis, 10 cities. The disciples each had their issues, but they changed the world. In the book of Revelation, it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It doesn't say they overcame by living a perfect life, their credentials, or all their things, letters behind their name. They overcame by the word of their testimony, and each of us have a testimony that we can use to disciple someone else. So where is your yes? The last four pages of your notes is a whole list of places that God can use you to say yes. Take it home, check them off, see where you can say yes to God, and don't bury your treasure.